funny. We asked some of our children here at the church some questions about their mothers. These are some of the responses we get back this year. So the first question: what is something that mom always says to you? Now, I don't have time to read every single one of the kids' responses, but we've tried to highlight some of each of them, try to touch on each kid's response in different ways. So Maria writes, this is what her mom always says to her. Maria says, "Do your work, finish cleaning up, and I love you." Jason says, "I love you, and get back to work." Christian says, "I love you." David, "If you want your tablet, you have to clean your room." And Elijah says, "Elijah, Elijah, Elijah." That's what he said. And Zuri says, "I love you, Zuri." Caden writes, this is what his mom always says to him, "What do you want to be for Halloween?" I don't know. Just repeating it. I don't know. Avery says, "Clean your room." And I love you, Avery. And Aubrey says, "I love you." So we got a full spectrum there of things their moms always say. Second question: what makes mom happy? Jason says, "You do, Dad. Oh, and chocolate, too." You're right up there with chocolate, Sam. Yeah, it's good. Christian says, "When I clean my room without her asking me to, and when I do puzzles with her." Matthew Dodge says, "Doing the chores when she says to." Yes, that does make moms happy, doesn't it? Mariah says, "When we do chores without being asked." And Zuri says, "When we bless her." Well, Matthew Cusimano says, "When we love and listen to her." I see a theme here. You know. Kids are listening, right? Caden says, I'm seeing some of these for the first time, so this is... Caden says, "Me!" Wow. Just me. All right. Avery says, "Obedience. Hugs, kisses, snuggling, and me." Wow. All right. I didn't have time to review all these, so these are hilarious. Number three, third question: what's mom's favorite thing to do? Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what I see here. Jason says, "Sleep, watch Marvel movies, spend time with her family." Eric says, "Baking or planting flowers." Mariah says, "Taking a nice walk with no interruptions." Matthew Cusimano says, "Family cuddle." Caden, "Be with me." Yeah. What else is there to do? Yeah. Andrew says, "I don't know, because she doesn't get to do her favorite thing very often, but if she did, then go to the beach with her family." And Cameron says, "Go out to dinner with Daddy and go to the beach with her boys." The fourth question: what does Mommy do better than Daddy? Oh, boy. Mariah says, "She's better at being a girl." That's good. Maria. Okay. Maria says, "She's better at being a girl and carrying children. She's also more sanitary." I don't know. Boy. You wash your hands? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Matthew Dodge, gardening. Apparently you're a better gardener than your dad, than your husband and his dad. Elijah says, "Mother's better at not getting upset." Mariah says, calming people down. It's a good trait to have. Matthew Cusimano says, eat less. Andrew says, homeschooling. Yes, that is true. Mommy is a better homeschooling teacher than me. So, Cameron says, playing the harp. Considering I don't play the harp, that's... Number five, if mom were a superhero, who would she be and why? Jason says, she's a real-life original, supermom. Why? Because it's true. And Eric says, superwoman, because she helps everyone. And Christian says, Wonder Woman, because she loves everyone. And Matthew Dodge says, Wonder Woman as well, because she is amazing. David said, Catwoman, because she meows like a cat. Wow. Elijah says, a loving superhero who could heal anyone on sight and is always happy. And Caden says, Wonder Lady, because she is loving. Andrew says, Wonder Woman, because she is strong and smart. And Avery says, Wonder Woman, because she is awesome. And finally, the sixth question. If you had $1 million, how would you spend it on your mom? And Mariah says, pay someone to clean the house. Maria says, pay someone to clean the house, buy her a new car, and remodel the kitchen. At least it didn't say hire an electrician, right? That's... So Eric says, I would buy my mom a big mansion. And Christian says he too would buy her a mansion and give her $500,000 and not a penny more. No, he didn't say $500,000. So you'd be taken care of. David said, I would spend it on a car. So you'd have a house, $500,000, and a car. And Zuri says, give it to her to spend on stuff she would like. Andrew said, I would buy her the biggest motorhome in the world and then give her money to give to Haiti. And Cameron says, get her a diamond ring. And Aubrey says, also a diamond ring. All right, those are from the mouths of our own kids. I'm going to laugh about Caden's there for a long time. Me. So this morning, it's just more of a brief devotional this morning. I wanted to have some words from God's Word to encourage mothers this morning. And today's a day that we honor our mothers, and we praise God for the design of motherhood that God designed. It's a role that He had in mind. Established. And for some day, I understand, some of you, I understand that today is a difficult day. You know, your mother has passed on. It's a time of remembrance, a time when you reminisce, think about her love, and her support, the time she held you, the time she cared for you and spoke to you and encouraged you. So I understand that today can be a difficult time. I'm thankful for my mother. She and my dad raised 6 kids. I'm the oldest of 6. They now have 13 grandchildren. And we were raised to fear the Lord. We were taught the love of the Lord. My mother worked tirelessly at home for many years. She would get up early with my dad, make him his lunch, and see him off to work at 5:45 every weekday morning as he went to the mill. And she would clean, cook, homeschool at times. She had a garden, a very big garden that she would maintain and have us help maintain. She would take the time to take us on walks and show us God's handiwork in the creation all around us. She was always pointing out things, trees and different things, birds and animals to us. And she would always have us, we had to get to know the songbirds that came to the bird feeder. We'd have to know what each songbird was. And to this day, they're most songbirds I'm able to identify, thanks to my mother. She would make us memorize scripture. John 3:16, of course, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and many other scriptures. We would sit. I can remember sitting and reading and studying and then have to go out and recite it to her. And if we got it wrong, we'd have to go back and study it some more and go back until we got it right. She always supported my dad, and my dad honored her in return. They were a team. There was never any sense playing one parent off the other. That was disaster for us. My parents were clearly a team. And they would see right into that. My mom and my dad taught us to fear the Lord. And today, all six of us kids, by God's grace, are serving the Lord. All six of us have married godly spouses. And now all 13 of the grandchildren are being taught to fear the Lord. So we praise God for that. I praise God for that. I'm blessed to have two sets of Christian grandparents. Not many people can say that. I'm so thankful that both sets of my grandparents were godly people. I had godly grandmothers. I'm blessed to have a godly mother and father-in-law who are prayer warriors for our family and others around them. My mother-in-law, Becky, watches our boys at least once, sometimes twice a week, where she teaches them not only academics, but she teaches them the word of the Lord. She sings with them, as you saw. She is a woman who fears the Lord, and I'm grateful for her. Finally, I'm thankful for the godly wife that God gave me. She is a wonderful wife and mom who works tirelessly to keep the home fires burning. Beyond the homeschooling, the cooking, the cleaning, the driving boys to practices, participating, and even organizing events at church, she is a woman who fears the Lord and desires that each of our boys do the same. She prays with the boys when they have aches and pains. She makes them memorize scripture just as my mom did. She supports and encourages me and is a true helpmate. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Maybe this morning, as a mother, you're thinking, "Yeah, I'd love to go out and make disciples, but I don't have time. I barely have time to run to the store, let alone go around making disciples." Mothers, I want to remind you this morning that you have little disciples in your home. Children who spend so much time with you and need to be taught biblical truths. Children who one day will impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is no wonder that our culture is trying to downplay the role of a stay-at-home mother as if it is shameful and demeaning to be at home with the kids. Yet the calling of motherhood is a calling to be a disciple maker. It is a high calling with rewards that extend far beyond this temporal world into eternity. Many times as a mother, you may have wished you could have greater impact on the world or had more opportunities to serve God. Maybe you struggle to view your daily tasks of motherhood as anything but mundane and wearisome. Yet the spiritual warrior whom God can use to impact the world can be found sitting on your lap. The son that has to be reminded each night to brush his teeth might be the next Billy Graham, Richard Wurmbrand, or Jonathan Edwards, or maybe the next Timothy of the first century church. The daughter in the high chair may be the next Franny Crosby, who wrote over 8,000 songs to include "To God Be the Glory" and "Blessed Assurance." The daughter in the high chair might be the next Evangeline Booth, who led the Salvation Army for 30 years, or the next Elizabeth Elliot or Amy Carmichael. There's a missionary in India for many, many years. Maybe they won't be so well known, but maybe they will be the one to share the gospel with someone whom God uses to impact millions of lives, like Edward Kimball. And you probably never heard the name Edward Kimball. But Edward Kimball was the Sunday school teacher who cared enough to share the gospel with a rebellious teenager who was working as a shoe salesman. His name was Dwight L. Moody. D.L. Moody would go on to become one of America's greatest evangelists, leading many people to Christ, millions of people to Christ, including Kimball's own son 17 years later. Perhaps the child that is throwing the temper tantrum on your living room floor might be a future pastor or pastor's wife, a military chaplain, the next missionary that this church supports. Maybe one day that same child that at times drives you crazy will be that same child who drives the devil crazy with their fervent prayers and unwavering boldness and commitment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. The hand that rocks the cradle truly does rule the world. Little disciples, they are watching us, studying us, listening to us, and imitating us. Not just mothers and fathers, but they are watching grandparents too. What a great opportunity to carry out the Great Commission right in our own homes. So the question becomes, where do you start? The Bible says in Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, as we heard read this morning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Solomon goes on to say, hear my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. We begin with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a sense of awe and respect for the majesty of God. This is not the same type of fear that one would have of a monster or a very dangerous person, but rather it is the fear a child has towards his father whom he loves and desires. God is an awesome God. He is infinite in wisdom and power and goodness. His glory is such that no man has seen his full glory and lived. And our finite minds cannot comprehend our infinite God. He reveals to us only what he desires, we know. And what we know is he is the true and living God who provided a way into salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that there is no other God besides the God of the Bible. We often hear of God's love, patience, mercy, and grace, but it seems today we rarely hear of his other attributes. God is judge over all his creation. He is a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 5. He is a God of wrath. Romans 1:18. He is a holy God, pure and without sin. Hebrews 10:28 through 29 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We must teach our kids the truth about God as he has revealed to us in his word. The more they understand the nature and attributes of God, the greater they are able to appreciate his grace and mercy, and the more they realize the seriousness of their sin. The fear of the Lord is the foundation on which discipleship is built. And it is the responsibility of the mother and the father, the grandmother and the grandfather, to teach the fear of the Lord to their children and grandchildren. David said in Psalms 34:11, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This teaching requires us to read the Word of God to our children. It requires us to have them read and memorize Scripture, because we know that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I encourage mothers and grandmothers here today to consider the magnitude of your role that you play in God's plan for mankind. You are training disciples. And we know from the Gospels that disciple training is frustrating and messy. It requires great patience, endurance, perseverance, and lots of prayer. And no wonder Jesus often found solitude to go pray as he was training his disciples. He oftentimes had to retreat and just pray. Mothers, I think you understand this. And like Jesus, disciple makers will face rejection, abandonment, and maybe even betrayal. But be encouraged, for the faithful mother who sows godly wisdom into her children will reap a great harvest. It may not be seen in her lifetime, but her works will be revealed in eternity. How amazing would it be to stand in heaven one day and have other believers come up to you with a big smile and say, "Thank you for being a faithful, godly mother. It was your son or your daughter that cared enough to share the gospel with me. They told me verses that you shared with them. It was your son or daughter that showed me the love of Christ, who gave me a Bible, who prayed for me for many years." Mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers, we know that this is not an easy task. We have the hope that if we train up a child in the way they should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it, says Proverbs 22:6. Remember that after Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came upon them, the disciples went out with great boldness into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our prayer as well? That our children go out into the world with great boldness, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Teach them to fear the Lord. They are little disciples. Let's teach them to be disciple makers. I'll close with a story of a disciple maker. A story of a mother who understood the importance of teaching the fear of the Lord to her young son. In fact, it was her desire to bring her son up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. However, she had an illness which she knew would eventually take her life. So her time with her son was limited. She wasted no time in training him in the paths of righteousness. She had him memorize scripture, liturgy, and poems. She taught him hymns and prayed that one day he would become a minister. She spoke of the saving grace of God and his love and mercy. However, when he was just 7 years old, she died. Her husband, the boy's father, who was a sea captain, remarried soon after. And the young boy's new stepmother soon had children of her own and abandoned him. He went on living in different homes, being bounced from one house to the next. He ran wild for many years and abandoned the faith that his mother had so tirelessly taught him. He became fluent in cursing and blasphemy, and eventually went off to work on ships at sea. One night, as the storm tossed his ship around, he began to recall his childhood teachings. He began to bring to recollection scriptures that his mother had taught him, scriptures that both humbled him and encouraged him to repent and put his trust in the Lord. On March 21st, 1748, John Newton, the slave trader, the blasphemer, who by his own admission was exceedingly wicked, became a new creation in Christ Jesus. In 1764, his mother's prayers were answered as he began his calling, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for the next 43 years. Of course, he is known not only for his work in ministry and as eventual abolitionist, but he is known for writing the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. Yet behind the lyrics of this powerful and popular hymn was a godly mother who understood the importance of her God-ordained role of motherhood. Thank you, mothers, for all the work that you have done and will continue to do. Don't underestimate the role of motherhood. And go ahead and make those little children be great disciples of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the role of motherhood. We thank you for creating this role intentional and with great purpose. We thank you for the mothers that we have that loved us, cared for us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word that encourages us. We thank you for your spirit that comforts us and illuminates the scripture for us. Father, I pray for these mothers here today and the grandmothers that you would just fan that flame inside of them. Give them the energy and the courage, the patience and the endurance they need to carry on. May they leave here today encouraged by your word, and may they go out and make disciples of all nations, but particularly in their homes. Thank you, Father, for your love, and thank you for the salvation that you provide for us. We ask all this, and we thank you in Jesus' name.